Something coming faster than any of us can imagine and will change our lives in the most dramatic ways is AI.
And while AI used to sound freaky to me and just something that was going to take over my world, it really would have revolutionized my practice had I stuck around. Many of you know, I got so burnt out from charting. It was the big reason I left medicine because I was frustrated with the EMRs, the clunkiness, and the amount of time it took to learn them. Not only that, but not being able to sit and connect with a patient and look them in the eye, like one-on-one while you're actually interacting with them, the whole reason we went into medicine, not to do paperwork.
Yeah, so that's why May and I have started working with Lindy.ai, which is fascinating. They help you produce the most efficient notes, fully customizable, which is different than some other AI products, so you can do what you do best, which is see patients and let the artificial intelligence scribe do the dirty work for you.
Yeah, not only do you get the perfect patient notes the way you want, written in any format, for whatever specialty you're in, and maybe you're in ophthalmology or vet medicine, it will also create the note, scribe and send the patient follow-up instructions, referral letters, consultation notes. It's amazing. Lindy is offering our listeners a 7-day trial to experience the difference of their AI medical scribe. Go sign up at lindy.ai/bsfree to get started. That is Lindy, lindy.ai/bsfree.
Finally, a source of raw, real, and honest information on healthcare issues that matter most. Welcome to BS Free MD. From the latest medical information to how to stay sane as a doctor or a patient, no subject is taboo, no BS is allowed. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh.
Hello and welcome. Yes, sorry, I was ranting and being offended by
technology. I don't know that the Instagram is working.
Let me check. It is. Sue. Anyways, we are here. We're having fun.
All right. Should we take this from the top?
We had a very good
wait. Should we take this from the top for the audio replay?
Yeah. Okay.
Instead of just
take it from the top.
Starting like a bunch of fools.
Everyone like my new gigantic black glasses?
All right, everybody. Welcome to BS Free MD, Cocktails with Cocktails, where we share a cocktail, share some BS in our lives and in the world around us, and some of the hilariousness of medicine. Tonight on the show, we have a special drink. Tim couldn't make it to Norm's in the storm, so we dug in our closet.
We storming Norman at that point.
And we are going to talk about Medicare fraud. Siamese twins.
Not Medicare fraud. No, a strange Medicare request.
I'm going to talk about Medicare fraud.
Okay. Siamese twins. Yes, that one is kind of interesting.
And a strange medical request, as well as what the heck is going on in Oregon.
Yes.
Again.
And could they actually have been pulling their head out of their collective rumps?
Well, let's get to it, shall we?
Partially.
And hello to our audience. Hello, Desiree, first one to comment, so you get the prize of the night, as well as Chad. Hi, Chad. Welcome to the show. Favorite BS docs. Yes, we've been accused of spreading BS on our social media lately.
There's a lot of people that apparently really like the CDC.
Yeah. And actually, if you haven't seen or listened to the show with Pamela Garfield Yeager yet, the truthful therapist, she's got a massive following on Instagram and YouTube. She's been on our show and we have a reel that's doing very well. I'm getting some comments, positive and negative.
You're not really moving the needle if you only get positive comments.
Exactly. So
because then it's just your, you know,
lots
it's,
of chatter it's your, with it's your regards to having Pamela on
and your auntie
talking about counseling teens, caring not just teens, caring for kids the right way, and therapy and the importance, as well as what's happening in the mental health crisis for kids.
Oh, remember, we are
trans
on YouTube right now.
Mm. So that's all.
So just, you know.
So therefore, watch my words. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for the reminder. Need a word check. I need to be sensitive, caring, and not use a certain language. Got it. Okay. Thanks for the reminder. So
it's all good.
Note to self. All right, Tim, what you got for us tonight? I think I want to hear.
What do you want to hear first?
Well, take it from the top.
There's no real top here. Let me see. Well, okay. I'm going to do this one first.
And watch your words on this one.
Yeah, because it's back. It's back. Well, I think you can talk about this story without being, well, I kind of had a Canadian accent there. I think you can talk about the story without being a real jerk. I'm going to try my best to A, not swear, and B, not be a jerk. Man who identifies as non-binary wants to keep his penis and have the Ontario taxpayers pay for vagina. So he's not transgender.
He's double dipping.
He is. He's not transgender. He's trans feminine, according to his endocrinologist.
Whoa. I have not heard that term.
Yes. No, it's a new term.
It's a new term. Because there's hundreds of thousands of genders.
I don't know.
That's a new one.
So he wants to.
I got to look that up.
They said, why should we remove an organ he still enjoys when he just wants another organ added to his body? So this went through an appeals process because the Ontario government, in a flash of lucid sanity, said, no, we're not doing this because it's not going to save your life. It's an experimental procedure. And then he appealed it, and the appeal guy said, no, he can have this. But apparently, there's only like one guy in the entire world that's expert at doing this procedure, the adichectomy. And I was going to say something else, but I censored myself. And so they may actually have to take Canadian money and ship this guy out of the country to add a vagina to his already working other undercarriage.
Okay. So if that is the case and sets a precedent for services for adding bodily parts or altering body parts because you don't feel right about yourself, then hold the line, Canadians. Get in line, all women, for your boob jobs, your nose jobs, your butt lifts, your pec implants, men.
I can't feel like a real man unless
your
I
calf
have
implants,
68
your
inch
six
chest.
Pack ab implants.
Yes.
What the hell is the difference?
Well, I don't think there is any difference. I think this is a cosmetic procedure. I think this guy is clearly what we would call an autogynophile. In other words, it's men that still have male parts that, like, you know, they may be, you know, they have whatever sexual proclivities, but they like to look like women but still be men. That is a fetish. It's a thing.
If you can't make a decision, that's messed up. That's worse than my paint.
I was just
paint colored decision making process.
Now,
if
you want to pay for it yourself and you want to become the man from Nantucket and actually change your ear into a, you know what? I won't say the verse. I won't sing the limerick, but you get the idea. And you want to have a female organ on your ear and you want to pay for it. God bless you.
No, now we're paying.
Do what you want. But now public money.
Public
because,
money.
Because come on. This, like, when are people just going to go, all right. We tried to be tolerant and now it's just completely nuts. We're done. We are done. Man from Nantucket.
What say you, audience? I want to know.
Like there's got to be a point where it's just like, okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh, it's all part of their mental health therapy.
Yeah, but then everything's mental health therapy. I feel a gazillion times more mentally healthy when I go for a run or when I go kiteboarding or when I ride my motorcycle. The federal government shouldn't buy me a motorcycle. I mean, this is completely insane. It's another reason.
Therapy bike.
Yeah, it's another reason why you got to. Yeah, another reason why you got to get rid of this ridiculous socialized medicine stuff, because eventually you know all you have to do is be a good lobbyist and then you get like insane stuff covered. Like it's just
I wonder
just
Is this really going to go anywhere?
Well, it's going to some administrative law judge in Canada for the final, you know, approval. And if it's the same idiot that was on the Supreme Court that didn't want to talk about a woman being raped, but wanted to call the woman a person with a vagina so that they didn't use the W word. Come on. I mean, give me a break.
So apparently trans feminine is a term that describes people who were assigned male at birth, but identify as more feminine than masculine.
But they still identify as masculine.
More feminine than masculine. So now we have to have a word for that.
Well, that's what he said. This guy said, I'm like 90% feminine, 10% male. And the 10% of male that I want to keep is my penis.
The world has gone mad, right?
No, like this, like there's a point where you're just like, you're a weirdo. We don't do weirdo surgery. Next.
My house is kind of modern, kind of coastal, kind of boho. It's a little bit of all. It's not, I mean, what have we got to come down to? This is actually sad. And I think,
we used to get pissed off when Mickey Mantle, okay, who drank himself to death, one of the greatest baseball players in the history of Major League Baseball, drank himself to death. And I remember he got 2 liver transplants and people's heads were exploding.
Right, you're right.
Exploding. It's like, there's no reason in the world he should have got 2 liver transplants. He did this to himself. And now you get to have a penis and a vagina because you feel better if you have both.
I'm just
like dead air. We got to stop this. We got to go to the next story because my head is literally going to explode.
I just think of all the, you know, counseling months you have to wait before you undergo bariatric surgery. All you people out there have had bariatric surgery and you know that you have to like go to the counselor to make sure you're ready. You have to do the nutritional changes, dietary, all the work that goes into that to lose some damn weight. But
excellent quote. You should go to China, experience their socialized medicine. Yeah, if you're a Uyghur Muslim, they just steal your organ.
Yes. So we know what,
yes, we that know what organ that you wanted to keep, we'll be taking that. Thank you. Along with your kidney, your liver, your heart, and your lungs.
Yeah. And, you know, actually in another country, if you're not happy with it, they chop his unit off, just like your finger if you stole some bread.
Yeah, we could just, it just goes on and on.
All right. Enough with that one. On to the next story.
Conjoined twins, Abby and Brittany Hensel, who actually are very heroic. They really are. Face new twist in marriage to Josh Bowling.
Okay. How old are they? The twins,
30.
You know?
Abby and Brittany Hensel have defied odds since birth as one of the few sets of diencephalous twins to survive infancy. So they've lived 30 years, which is remarkable.
You better explain to people what diencephalous twins
are. So they have basically, this is two women that have one body, 2 heads, 2 brains. So a woman with 2 brains.
Oh my gosh.
So actually they can drive.
As opposed to a man with no brains.
The woman with 2 brains can actually drive a manual.
And the man with no brains inside one
head. The parallel parking. Unbelievably good. Okay. So 2 heads, 2 brains, 2 hearts, 2 sets of lungs, 2 spinal cords, 1 body. And the one sister is married to this guy. The other one just goes
along
everywhere
together. She's just along for the ride.
Yeah.
She's the tag along.
Yeah.
What did you used to call that when the extra girlfriend, Betty Bumface?
Betty Bumface.
That's terrible.
Yeah, but we're terrible. So but it says
they're getting married.
They face a new twist in their marriage. And I was like, I was just kind of thinking about the old twist, but I have no idea. Maybe they're good at playing Twister. You never know.
A new twist?
Yeah. Well, it's because the husband has been charged with a paternity suit it's nothing. It's just clickbait. But it got me thinking about all of this.
It got me thinking.
About like... You know, these women have done remarkably well. First of all, they survived against all odds. They went to their teachers, like they became educated. They got real jobs. I mean, it's really, really cool. Like, it really is something else. But the marriage thing, man, that's hard for me. I'm
right there with you. So I'm thinking, first off, is he actually marrying two people? Is it kind of like
Well, we talked about that before, and it got us down the rabbit hole of polygamy.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So how come?
That's where I was going, but you were going down the raunchy hole.
No, I was not. I wasn't
going to say hole, raunchy, funny trail.
You're terrible.
Well, I knew you.
Rabbit hole is different. No, I wasn't going down.
That's where your mind went.
Well, of course it did. I'm just not going to verbalize it. But the fact is,
I'm just thinking it's bad enough having someone in your personal space, but when your sibling is right there, unable to escape your personal space and living your life with you, like going on dates, going on everywhere you go, now you're getting married and you can't, I don't know. It's just like,
it's creepy enough. It's creepy enough
when you're marrying one person. It's two.
Like, let's be honest. It's creepy enough when you are enjoying the marital act and the dog is watching you. And all of a sudden you're like, I think a sentient being is watching me do my thing. And you look, and the dog is just kind of looking, and it's like, you piece of shit, you cut my balls off, giving you that look. And you're like,
Okay. Side.
Little alone another head. And again, like, it brings up so many questions.
The sex part,
take
that out of the equation, and even just day-to-day life. Like, I don't know. Not secrets, but one-on-one, personal, because it's always two-to-one. Like, that I can't imagine living like that. But when that's how, I mean, it's a totally different kind of connectedness, obviously, that no one would understand except Siamese twins.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions that I will not ask on the podcast.
Even think about it, work. How do two people work to get, like, how does that work?
So do they ever fight and then, like,
it would be a fascinating interview.
And
really,
then, like, just beat each other. Like, it's just.
So apparently this conjoined twins really is very rare. Poor prognosis. Total survival rate is only 7.5%. This must be like,
and only
60% worldwide
of the surgically separated cases. No, it's really, yeah, it's really amazing that, I mean, they have, they have made a really great life for themselves. And I want to emphasize that, because that really is amazing. Like, because everywhere you go, you're going to be, you know, kind of the, you're going to draw attention and all of this. And they're teachers, and they had to go to university, and they had to go to high school, and they had to do all that kind of stuff. And it really,
yeah,
it really is amazing. They are obviously amazing people. But man, the marriage part, that, I mean, hey, that's good. Whatever you want. But then it got us down. We're going to leave the wonderful Hensel twins alone, because they deserve nothing but respect. And we're going to move on to the fact of polygamy. Because really, let's be honest, this is, I guess, polygamous. Like, we're, you know.
Huh?
You know.
You lost me.
You married a woman with two heads. You married two people, right? Let's be honest. And this whole concept, May and I got on this before. It's like, okay, so let me get this straight. If you're like this weird cult where you have like 13 wives and you're really rich and you provide for all of them, assuming they're all of the age of consent when they were married, and you have like 100 kids and they're all cared for and none of them are abused, the FBI comes and kicks your door down because it's illegal to be a polygamist. Okay, fair enough. But if you play in the NFL, the NBA, and you're a gajillionaire, and you have 100 one-night stands, and you have 500 illegitimate kids, as long as you pay for them, nothing happens. What's the difference?
Right.
The 100
so
cult kids.
It's legal to be Nick Cannon.
Yes. Like the Sperminator. But somehow, if if you actually like, and then if you were legally married to that many women and one of them wants to leave and you have eight wives, I would assume you'd have to give an eighth of your stuff to her. Whereas yes, the only connection you have to, you know, the Nick Cannons of the world is a kid. You could have been sleeping together for a gajillion years and as the side chick. And if you have no legal connection, you don't get any money when he decides to move to the next side chick.
That's right.
But if you're married, so I'm actually saying, look, if you're going to have multiple partners, marry him. I think if we're going to have marriage equity, you should be able to have as many wives as you want. And I know exactly how many wives I want. One.
What are you going to do when six of the eight divorce you?
Well, no, I know.
Be left with,
I know,
2/8 of your stuff.
No.
More trouble.
No, I think if you want to risk having to divide your stuff up in 8 pieces because somebody pisses you off or you piss, like, hey, more power to you. If you want to marry a woman with 2 heads, fantastic. Good for you. Be happy. I just, I prefer my women like my Labrador retrievers with 1 head. That's all. You know, does that make me a dicephalophobe? I guess I'm a dicephalophobe now, but I'm sorry.
You are.
I hats off to the Hansel twins. Great. Fantastic. But we all got our thing.
We just all have a lot of questions.
We do. Maybe we could get them on the show. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine after this show. I can't.
I mean, I think they've done a great job. Obviously, they got great lives, but
right,
I got a lot of questions.
Even as a medical professional. No, that would be fascinating. Right? Desiree, drop that little hint.
Wow. Can you imagine? They listen to the show. Maybe they would like it. They'd be like, hey, this guy's not a total weirdo.
Maybe they're fun and lighthearted.
I think that you would have to learn how to be fun and lighthearted to be able to achieve what they have achieved in life.
Yeah.
With such an unusual condition.
No, absolutely.
No, seriously. I think
rising to the challenge of struggles.
Talk about playing the hand you were dealt with the skill of.
It makes my aches and pains seem, frivolous.
Yes, May. Can you imagine? It could be worse. My gigantic head could be attached to your tiny body.
Well, it did come through my tiny body when our firstborn.
Oh.
Entered the world, and I am paying the price.
Can you imagine that snoring? Like literally.
Yes,
an inch from your head.
All of us women can imagine that snoring. We live with it. Some of us, graciously.
Oh, can you imagine
if some of us divert to another bedroom?
Can you imagine if you were conjoined twins and one was male and one was female and you had one body
that happened?
You had a male head,
yes,
and a
that.
Female head, and then like one body
that
was whatever.
You can look that up. It says
that would be trippy.
Apparently, it's happened. I think,
but then hormonally, everything would be jacked up because you
would
have
to look into that more. Apparently, it was some of the. Pseudo hermaphrodite type stuff, apparently.
Wow, how could you not be?
All right.
We've kicked that one to death.
We've totally kicked that one to death. Here's some news for you. One of the largest U.S. independent primary care networks has been accused of Medicare fraud. This is up in Maryland. This just came out March. So a Maryland firm that oversees the nation's largest independent network of primary care medical practices facing a whistleblower lawsuit alleged that it cheated Medicare out of millions of dollars using billing software that was rigged to make patients appear sicker than they were. And so what they did was they
changed. It was rigged. It was rigged.
And overstated some of the medical diagnoses to boost some of the billing codes to make people look sicker. Hence getting the more monies, and would, for example, change anxiety into depression, things like substance abuse. They would ask questions and bump it up from one drink per day, stating they had a substance abuse disorder. So it would affect the coding, and it could significantly impact to the point of $3,300 a year per patient or more.
I think
the whistleblower.
I'm calling bullshit on this. I think that that's good. I think that if you look at how you're supposed to code, that's good coding. $3,300 a year per patient is not Medicare fraud. That's doing your freaking job if you're a coder. And that's going to your providers and saying, I mean, we have coding clinics every single place except for one place.
Except this company affects more than 40 states, serving over 2 million people.
I don't care if it serves 2 billion people.
So if they're conflating.
They're not conflating. If you do, so much of it is in the medical documentation. It's like, okay, did you ask the patient if they have more than two drinks? Yes. And they said, yes, I drink as much as Dr. Hindmarsh. Oh my God, you're going to die. And did you tell them that maybe you should cut back? Yes. You've met the criteria. And a lot of people don't put it in the note. So then you go to the providers and you say, click this box in this box that you did brief counseling and that you documented this. I mean, this happens all the time. It happens in ERs. It happens in surgery. It happens everywhere. Most stuff is undercoded and coded incorrectly. So going and trying to find the crumbs and using software to do that, that's a freaking no-brainer in my opinion. I think this is horseshit. I mean, there's true Medicare fraud out there, especially in the DME world where these guys bill the absolute living hell out of these DME companies for wheelchairs that nobody got and Medicare numbers billed through a pizza parlor in Manhattan. Like, that's Medicare fraud. I mean, this is...
You need to read this because you haven't read the article. They were talking about them even giving patients and diagnosing them with diabetic complications when they didn't even have diabetes any longer and kept billing for things like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there may be some fraud in there, but this, I don't know. I mean, hey, if this is true and they really fudged the software to bullshit Medicare, that's a big deal. I agree. That's a really big deal. But you read the beginning of that and I'm just like, I don't know, man. That's everyone's dream as a coder, is to get the most money for what you did. Get paid for what you did. Don't get paid for what you didn't do. But most people,
that's not what they said. They weren't trying to get the most money for what they did. It automatically upcoded things as soon as you entered something.
Well, upcoding is in the eye of the beholder. And I mean,
well, I beg to differ, because usually you are the one that doesn't, you're right, code or enter enough information. But it's a real thing. People milking the system, trying to get more money.
Yeah, but this is also what you get with the I aspirated alcohol. Oh, it's kind of delightful. Anyway,
it's a sign for you to stop talking and that you're wrong.
Oh boy, it's a sign. Okay, but you know it. I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say.
A second sign. All right. The fact is that there is Medicare fraud, and it's a big deal to obviously alter things incorrectly for payment. We know that because of some other big thing that just happened in the last 4 or 5 years where there was more incentives in payment for sick people.
Oh, right. Of course. But this is the same thing. Like, and this is what I'm saying. This is exactly what you should expect when you have all of these bullshit metrics that you pay people by. When you pay somebody to see a patient, okay, patient comes in, patient has pneumonia. That's a relatively complicated disease. You get a, you know, whatever code for that. You might've given them antibiotics in the office. You get a little extra. You did a chest x-ray, you get a little extra. Blah, blah, blah. You treat the patient, you know, it's $500 or whatever out the door, save the hospitalization. Everybody's happy. Okay. But that's not how it is anymore. You don't, you get where you get paid in primary care, and where you get paid really well in primary care is all of the bullshit. It's asking somebody how much they drink. It's doing brief counseling if you think they drink too much. It's screening them for depression. It's all of this nonsense. You can come in for a hangnail to a primary care clinic that's doing the metrics, which is virtually all of them. And if you haven't been seen in 6 or 8 months, you're going to get asked, do you feel safe at home? Is your spouse beating you up? How many times a week do you masturbate? No, that one I added. But it's just ridiculous because that's how they get paid.
No, I'm
so,
not. That's
so
not
the more
boxes
you tick, the more you get paid.
No.
So it's like inducing people to do bullshit.
No,
because
no,
they know it's bullshit.
They changed the software so that it automatically picked something else. So if you picked a code, it would upcode to the next thing. Telling the physicians to enter.
No, if they can prove that would be awesome, and they deserve to get punished. I agree.
Yeah, fascinating. We'll see what happens with this. Anyway, Chad, I can't understand which way he's going with this. He says his wife is a coder and she will tell you she got paid to make more money every month.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're a coder, they're like, yes.
Right.
More codes.
No, of course. But if you do it incorrectly and change it, that is Medicare fraud.
You know, and the other problem is the United States has this policeman mentality where Medicare fraud abuse is like blah, 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 like $1 trillion a year.
Now, if you're
and then they
up
spend
something that's not true is what I'm saying. I'm
right.
Not...
But the other problem is Medicare fraud and abuse is a problem, but it's not that big of a problem, but it's a lot of money. But if let's say it's a $10 billion a year problem. Okay. Well, the American solution to the $10 billion a year problem is to spend $15 billion a year fighting it. They did that in Canada. They're like, we know we're getting screwed by unscrupulous doctors. We know we are. And then they tried to fight it and they went, we're going to spend five times more money trying to fight this than just understanding that, 2% of the population are dickheads that are going to cheat us. So they just let it go because it didn't make any sense to fight it. No, the American way is to fight it and fight it and fight it. Well, we've got it under control. Yeah, you've got it under control for 10 times more money than the actual problem. Fantastic. And now we have five more police forces, not just the FBI, but the FBI, the Secret Service, the DEA, we'll have the coding correctional something and the Medicare Fraud and Abuse Division and the whatever. It's like, yeah, excellent. Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Seriously, that I don't know. That drives me nuts because it's like, go after actual fraudulent businesses.
Right.
Don't go after guys that are kind of little dipshittery on the coding. Whatever. I sound like Don Cherry. Just turned 90. Guy just turned 90.
Wow. But everybody likes it when you
space for
do your little rant.
Yeah. It's that's the American
way.
Thing
for,
I'm not saying people
for all the
be,
nuggets and collecting all right. the eggs in your basket.
And I'm not
saying taking all the money that's yours, but to totally rig software so that it conflates everything.
I'm not saying everyone. I'm not saying
it just alters everybody's diagnoses. It's not even correct.
Yes.
In their chart.
If a whistleblower did that and it's a massive multi-state operation that's clearly fraudulent, I want 100% of the power of the federal government to come down on them. Absolutely. I'm not saying that there should be fraud. The problem is we have all these frickin' police forces going after people where the FBI can literally knock your door down. And you have all these mom and pop doctor shops that are trying to do their best. And they're all scared shitless that they're committing Medicare fraud. That is insane.
Right. I agree.
That is insane. We agree.
We agree on that. But
well, we agree on all of
when
this.
You have big,
but
not companies.
But it's more entertaining.
That are a massive umbrella that are like doing wrong shit.
Then, yeah, but then you got United Healthcare that gets sued every other weekend because they're screwing the guys that they signed contracts with, and
that's
then they had that settlement a year and a half ago with that ER group out of Nevada for $75 million. $75 million to United Healthcare is. That's not the coffee tab for their boardroom.
Is that Nevada or Nevada?
It's Nevada if you live there. It's Nevada if you don't and you're a dickhead.
All right. Well,
I wasn't going to swear. I don't think dickhead is a swear. I said shit, though. No, I said it again. Oh, my gosh. If I was Catholic, I would just be living in confessional. But I'm not.
You would have.
I can go straight to Jesus.
You would have just a permanent like cross on your face from doing this. Like, Well, why don't you share what got you riled up and what's in your, that's a Capital One ad. What's in your wallet? What's in your cup?
We're back to the Hangar One Merkurt.
I think it is a wonderful beverage to share again. It's not Merkurt. It's
Macroot.
Macroot lime.
It's the Macroot lime. Oh, it's a part. It'll get you tangy in you.
Okay.
And make your saliva.
Macroot lime mixed with lemonade is a nice, refreshing drink. I want to know how to even pronounce Macroot lime. Oh, the other name lime. Is, yes, it's actually called
kefir.
Is it kefir or kefir? We don't know.
Is it kefir or kefir? I think it's kefir. I think if you say kefir,
that's like
Celandino. It just that's
acai. That's right. Do you know how to say acai?
Acai.
Acai. What? Acai.
No. I hate that. Acai. I hate that word. That word I hate more than any word in the entire world, because there's more syllables.
Fun with fruits.
There's more syllables in that word
than
letters. How is that freaking possible?
It's a Hawaiian word, I think.
So say it.
Acai?
It's not.
It's not acai?
No, look it up. Pronunciation.
Okay. A pronunciation in English. Acai.
Acai.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
All right.
Crank that up.
Just hang on a second.
Acai.
Acai.
It's acai.
Acai.
Yeah.
There you go. Acai.
Acai. Acai. That's what it should be. It should be acai. No, it's acai.
Acai. Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're not drinking acai. Acai. No one says that. It's always acai when I go to the...
But it's acai. My Canadian friends say
Jamba Juice doesn't say it that way.
Acai.
Do you have any more stories for us?
I have one more story.
Well, while we're waiting.
In a flash of, holy shit, we made a mistake, Oregon Governor Tina Kotek... or Tuna Kotex, signs bill into law making drug possession illegal again.
Possession. That would be drug possession, not position.
Drug possession.
Drug possession. Mm-hmm. Was that the Macroot lime that's got your words?
Yeah, twisted? Yeah, whatever. Took the words right out of my mouth, as to quote a meatloaf. Yes. So they're like, wow.
Drug possession.
All the homeless drug addicts that actually moved to our state to be homeless drug addicts was a really bad idea. And it took us 3 long years to realize it's a bad idea. So now you can actually get thrown back into jail for being a homeless drug addict, even for possession, not for actually consuming meth and heroin. Wah, 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 wah.
Maybe they'll clean up the streets.
Maybe, you know, but good for them. Okay. Good for, hang on. Tina Kotek there. I said it correctly. Good for them in actually realizing they made a major blunder.
Absolutely.
That there's hope when you can make. Now, that is a major blunder. That wasn't like a little whoopsie. That was ejecting heroin in the middle of Burnside Street might be a really good idea. What do you think, Tina? I think that's a great idea.
It was her wife that made that suggestion. That's true. And since she kind of now got special privilege and part of the Oregon legislature.
If you look at a picture of dear Tina, you'll understand that she drives a Subaru, if you know what I mean.
Hmm. Moving along. Let's talk about what's on the podcast tomorrow.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
Rarely do we do an interview and release it the next day, but that's what's happening. Tomorrow, we are releasing our interview from fresh off the...
It's steaming hot. It's literally... Fresh off it's like when you pull... You pull the clothes out of the dryer on a cold winter day and you want to like jump into them because they're so warm. That's what this is like.
I don't really remember that anymore since we're in Florida and everything's so hot here.
It's getting warm here already, kids. We're getting too deep.
Yes. Fresh off the recording tracks from today with true crime author and investigative journalist, John Leake. He... It was so fun to interview. And how is that related to BS3MD and medicine? Well, you'll have to listen. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah, and he knows a lot about forensic pathology. He knows a lot about medicine. And honestly, we could have talked to him for 3 hours. I mean, if we were Joe Rogan, we would have talked to him for 3 hours.
Yeah, so listen all the way through the end. If the beginning of it starts to... churn your aisles because it's taking us back in time to that thing that happened over the past 4 years and he wrote about it.
Don't worry. Episode will not be on YouTube Music.
No, but he also does get into his newest book called The Meaning of Malice, which is about someone that lived down the street from him growing up in Dallas, who is a suspected serial killer in Texas. And he writes a book about the whole scenario, so to speak, and the, how this woman has gotten away with what he's convinced of is probably triple homicide.
Yep.
So fascinating. And Tim's in the middle of this book right now. So he does share about that as well as some other things he's interested in. We talk a lot about his work together with Dr. Peter M.
Has an amazing Substack.
Yes.
Unbelievably good Substack called Courageous Discourse. Highly recommend it. I read every single one of them. And they write a lot because it's him and Dr. Peter M.
There you go.
Do you think that he might become a rapper and he's just like PDM? PDM in the house.
Somehow I don't see it.
Epidemiology, cardiology.
I don't see it.
Public health, I got you covered.
Not in the cards.
I'm the real Slim Shady. I'm PDM.
But I do know we have a friend that could write a rap song like that. You should message him.
Yes. What, the medical assistant we worked with?
No, the man that used to sell us hot wings from the Schwan's truck. Fantastic rapper. All right, we're digressing. All right, check out that episode and please sign up for the Truth Serum. Newsletter coming out. I just finished writing about life transitions, struggles, and getting to know yourself when all has been stripped away, let's just say. And please share this episode. Listen to the podcast on, X, Spotify, Apple, Rumble. And please give us a rating and review that really helps bump the podcast up so that other people can find it as well. It really makes a difference to our sponsorships as well. So we can keep the show coming to you so that if it's climbing up the algorithm because you wrote a little blurb and feedback about us, more people will see it and more people will want to sponsor. So that's how you can give back to us. We love cash donations as well. And you are certainly welcome to start a GoFundMe for us. But just please rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. We always ask that, and it really does make a difference. All right, everyone. So glad you were here. So glad you were listening. Cheers. We hope you have a great week. Keep your emails and letters coming. And until next time, keep it BS free.
I'm PDM, and I'm in the house. Cardiology in the house. I'm telling you, man.
That's going to be our new theme song.
Yes, it will. Bye-bye.
It's no secret that medicine is a bit uptight. That's why Tim and I created BS Free MD, to mix things up a little and have fun in the process. Besides, we are having these exact same discussions all the time, so we thought we might as well invite everyone to the party. If you really like us, you can get plenty more and maybe see one of Tim's cool tattoos on our Instagram or Facebook pages at BSFreeMD. See you next time.
But we try to keep BS3MD as raw and real as possible. We can't be held responsible for any medical decisions or discussions had as a result of what you've heard on the show. We know, bummer. But the truth is, we really do care about your questions. So feel free to reach out to us by email at doc@bs3md.com.